Well, good morning. And sound team, I am getting a little bit of a feedback up here. If you could work on that a little bit. Please take your Bibles out and turn in the Word of God to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 2. I greet you this morning by saying what I would say each and every week. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And during the welcome today, I did a mic drop thing, and it might have seemed a little juvenile, but I love Jesus Christ. And I want you to know that I just turned 64 this past Wednesday, and while I might be advanced in years, I'm not always that advanced in maturity. So please forgive me, and all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. If you have the Word of God, whether in printed or digital format, all over the sanctuary, please raise it above your heads. You know, I would rather be that guy that's over the top with Jesus than the one that's underwhelming. Amen?
Amen?
It's a lot easier to try to put out a blazing fire than it is to light an old wet log. And so as we turn to Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, we're going to see today a very familiar story. If you've been in church most of your life, you have probably heard this story many times, told from many different perspectives. But in our current series, in encounters with Christ, we are looking at these encounters from a slightly different perspective. In other words, from the perspective of the God of creation, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And the story is about Zacchaeus, the Jewish tax collector. And as we prepare to read this passage, keep in your mind, keep in your heart, just how much you love the tax collector. Reading from the Word of God, Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and who was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come into this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. What was lost? Mankind was lost at the fall in the Garden of Eden. The title deed of earth passed from God's hands to Satan's hands. And Jesus Christ has come to redeem the world. So today, in today's message, Encounters with Christ, the first week we looked at the perspective from those that are called, when he called the disciples. You have been called to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our second week we talked about cleansed, and how Jesus cleansed the 10 lepers. And the 10 lepers were cleansed as they were on their way to present themselves to the priest. But one, the cursed Samaritan, came back and glorified Jesus Christ. He acknowledged that Christ had cleansed him. And so today we go to that friendliest of all faces, the person we all love, and look at the tax collector. And we see how even a person that appears to be far from God can be converted to the cause of Christ, because Jesus Christ came to seek and save that which was lost. You have your notes with you today, and in your notes you'll have a chance to jot down a few points. I do want to say once again, we will finish our notes about halfway through the message. Don't zone out on me. Stick with me. We got good stuff coming. So on our first point today, we want to see at how Zacchaeus was converted. First, we see that he experienced a divine confrontation. He experienced a divine confrontation. When a person encounters Jesus Christ, it is a divine confrontation. It is a confrontation between the finite and the infinite. Is it a confrontation between the corruptible and the incorruptible? It is a confrontation between sinful man and holy God. Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. He is holy. He is righteous. He is the one true judge of all of us. And one day when we get to heaven, all of us, and we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus Christ, and we take part in the marriage supper of the Lamb, and we return with Christ in victory to claim this earth, so that the new heaven and the new earth will rise from what was once sinful. What we want to make sure of, Christians, and what we want you to do as you pray during today's service, is that none of your friends, none of your neighbors, none of your co-workers, none of the people you passed on the street, none of the people that you saw in the store, that none of them will not be in heaven. We want all, as God wants all, to find a way to heaven. But that salvation is found only in the man, Jesus Christ. In today's passage, Scripture is very clear. Zacchaeus is described as rich. Actually, if you look at verse 2, it says that he was the chief tax collector. And he was what? Very rich. He was, that word rich right there, being the chief tax collector, that word rich is the expanded word rich. You know, there is rich, and then there's rich. There's those that say, I'm comfortable, and then there's the ones that who are comfortable to go to the rich man's house because they want to try to get richer themselves. Amen? Scripture is very clear that Zacchaeus is the chief tax collector. He is therefore very rich. But listen to me. All of his money was not enough to give him peace of mind. All of his money was not enough to give him fellowship with man, with his friends, with his neighbors. All of his riches, the riches that he had, was not enough to give him a relationship with God. His money wasn't enough, nor was his power, nor was his position in the society. All of those things meant nothing in his relationship with people. So, Zacchaeus has a desire for relationship. He needs personal interaction. Amen? You know, you can have all the things of the world, but if you're at home by yourself, what good is that if you have no friends? Also, it says he's very short. He's a man of very small stature. He's the kind of man, according to the Scripture, he was so short that if he was in a crowd, he could have Miss Raphaella, he would have to ask her, can you see what's going on around here? Can you look over these people to see what's going on? And all God's people know that would be a bad view. We need to get Miss Raphaella and other folks like that to the front of the crowd. Amen? And by the way, that's why she's sitting down here in the front. These are the good seats down here, guys. You know, I was sharing with somebody before service today. Did you hear the story of the Baptist that went to church and got there too late to sit in the back? We have great seats down front. Sometimes I miss Brother Walter Tucker. He was an elder and deacon of our church. Whenever people came, he didn't care who they were. He didn't care where they wanted to sit. He didn't care how much they wanted to not be noticed. He brought them right down to the front row. And all God's people said. So Zacchaeus is very short, but he wants to see Jesus Christ. And so he decides to get ahead of the crowd, and he climbs up into a sycamore tree. The sycamore tree was a tree that was greatly valued in those times. The sycamore tree had big leaves and it grew, and it was a huge shade tree. It was valued by man. It had the ability to produce the sycamore fruit. And the sycamore fruit, before it was harvested, for it to be harvested properly, you had to go out there and stab it with little spikes in order for it to bear the full fruit. This large, powerful tree had to be pierced in order to produce its fruit. If you got it, say amen. And so Zacchaeus climbs up into this sycamore tree. And we have to ask ourselves, what was it that made this rich man humble himself and climb a tree? What would cause Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, Donald Trump, or any of the real rich people of our day, or that have been alive during our days, that would cause them to want to humble themselves and climb up in a tree to see what is going on? Rich people just don't do that. The proud simply do not do that. What was it that got him interested in Jesus Christ? Well, see, this is one of those places in Scripture where we know that Scripture is 100% true, amen? We know that it is inerrant. We know it is without the slightest bit or the slightest grain of inaccuracy. However, Scripture is not always detailed in what it says. For instance, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Raise your hand if you would have liked a little more detail than that. God, how did you do that? How did you do that? And this is one of those places where the Bible doesn't say, but we can surmise. Perhaps Zacchaeus had heard the stories about Jesus Christ healing people. And he wondered if Jesus could heal his heart. You see, physical illness is one thing, but the broken heart is another matter entirely. You see, money, position, power means nothing if there is no one to share it with. I know that I don't need anything in my life except the Lord Jesus Christ and my wife and family. I just adore my wife. I say that all the time. It embarrasses her. Right now I'm getting the evil eye from right over there. But I'm going to move along. But it's just how I feel. You know, in my life, if you were to... My life before Jesus Christ and my life before my wife was as if I was in darkness. And because she had the light of Christ in her, my life has just simply been better. You see, but many people are like that today. They have no one to share it with. Outwardly, they seem to have a great life. They appear to have it all together. He's really got it together. He's got it all. He's got money. He's got power. He's got station in life. But if you could hear their heart, if you could hear the deep ache in their heart, you would find that many times it is exactly the opposite is true. Because inwardly they are drowning in loneliness and despair. That's why people like Prince and Elvis Presley and all of these great stars that at one point in their life sang in choirs. And they've fallen away. They've got this deep ache in their heart because they've been separated from Jesus Christ in their life. Or they never had Christ in their life at all. And they thought that the riches of the world would be enough for them. But I want to tell you today, for those that may be visiting in our sanctuary, for those watching on the internet or listening to a DVD or CD later on, I want you to know that there is hope for people today, because just like there was hope for Zacchaeus in today's passage, there is hope for you, and that hope is in Jesus Christ, because as the passage says in verse 10, He has come to seek and save that which is lost. And however it happened, Living Hope, the hope that is found in Jesus Christ, however it happened, someone told Zacchaeus about Jesus. Disciples of Jesus Christ, gospel sharers of Jesus Christ, I'm going to say that one more time just to make sure we got it. Someone told Zacchaeus about Jesus. Look at verse 4 again. If you're there, please say amen. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree, for he, talking about Jesus, was going to pass that way. Because Zacchaeus is dedicated to seeing this Jesus that he has obviously heard something about. Church, Living Hope Church, church and Christian members all over the world are listening. For people in your life to get that desire for Jesus Christ, for people in your life to get that desire to meet this Jesus that we love so much, then Christians, you must tell them. You must tell them. You must share your faith. If you look in your notes there today, I slid this in there about 2 months ago. If you look in your notes after the third note, you'll notice it says, I shared the gospel this week. Share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'll go through it again at the invitation today, but mark in your Bibles, or mark on the side there, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. Go read that. It tells you exactly what the gospel is. You must tell him. Sometimes we are such polite Christians. Sometimes we are so nice and polite. We don't want to offend anybody. Well, I would rather have them offended and burning mad at me now than burning for all of eternity in hell. I don't want to go to heaven without the people that I meet in my life. I want them to know Jesus Christ. So first, we see that Zacchaeus experienced divine confrontation. Second, he experienced a divine call. He experienced a divine call. This is such a wonderful verse. Zacchaeus thinks that he is seeing Jesus. Zacchaeus thinks that he is seeking out Jesus Christ. But as it always is, Jesus speaks first. Jesus sought him out first. What does this immediately tell Zacchaeus? How does this address the issue of Zacchaeus' heart? Well, follow what happens here and let's learn. Look at verse 5. If you're there, please say amen. And when Zacchaeus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay in your house. First, Zacchaeus realizes that Jesus sees me. In this huge crowd, in this mob of people that are traveling along, the Lord Jesus Christ, this healer of people, this great teacher that's going about the land, the one that he's heard all the stories about, this man sees me. Jesus sees me. Not only that, second, he thinks to himself, wait a minute. Not only does Jesus see me, but Jesus knows me. He called me by name. He called out my name. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, I want you to know that when he called you by name. He didn't say, I just need this crowd to come forward. He did not. He said, Annette, today's the day of your salvation. Ruth Ann, today is the day. Rafaela, Miss Sherry, today is the day. Even the guys working behind the sound booth, GB, Divine, Roger, today is the day of your salvation. Come. Make haste. Jesus knows us because he calls us individually by name. Third, he saw me. He knows me. Look at this. Third, Jesus wants to meet me. What did Jesus say? Come down. Oh, can you imagine that Jesus Christ wants to meet you? And one day for all of us that have been saved, when we get to heaven, we will look straight into the face of our Savior because Jesus Christ wants to meet you. He wants to comfort you. He wants to touch the places in your heart that have never been touched. And fourth, wait a minute. Jesus wants to come into my house. He wants to come into my house. He wants to come home with me. Just so you guys get this, you came to church this morning, but you're a Christian. Jesus is going home with you. How does Jesus go home with you? Because when you are saved, you become filled with Jesus Christ. You get all of Christ. You get all of the inheritor of heaven. Jesus Christ occupies you completely and fully. You are then indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Indwelt to such of an extent that the Holy Spirit fills you to the top, to the brim, and you are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. How do I know that? Because God said so, and God doesn't lie. Amen. That's a great place for an amen. Well, I preached my way right off my nose. I'm sorry about that. But all of this makes something very clear to Zacchaeus. Jesus wants me because he has called me. He gets that it was a personal call to him. When Christ calls, it is personal. It is a call from the heart of the Creator of the universe to your heart. Not only was it personal, but it was absolutely in plain, clear call as well. Jesus Christ keeps it simple. Make haste, come down. The Lord, Jesus, told Zacchaeus, the man who was seeking the Lord, exactly what he was supposed to do. That's why when we do the invitation, we say, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, essentially what I'm saying is, make haste and come down to the front. Let's declare to the King of Glory exactly where you stand. He knew exactly what he was supposed to do. There would be no chance for debate here. There was no need for second guessing. Jesus was as clear as he was plain. And if you're sitting here today not saved, if you're watching on the internet not saved, that tugging in your heart which you are feeling right now is not just some random emotion. It is the call of Jesus Christ straight to your heart. And that tugging you feel is the pull of the Holy Spirit of God. You may not understand it. You may not be able to clearly state what it is that you feel. But that call is personal and it is plain. Larry, make haste and come down. Jesus wants you. Believers, Jesus wanted you. Unbelievers, Jesus wants you. Whether you're in this sanctuary or watching on the internet, Jesus Christ is calling out to you today. He leaves no doubt that you need Him. You may be pressed down in life by the way that you've lived. You may be pressed down in your heart by the circumstances of life. Your own actions may have embarrassed you in your life. You may wonder, how can a holy God, how can this holy Jesus Christ ever forgive me? But the first word he says to Zacchaeus, he doesn't ask him what he's done. He doesn't ask him where he's been. He doesn't ask him how unfair he's been in his job to people as a tax collector. He simply calls out, Zacchaeus, comes down, and that's what he's doing to your heart today. That's a good place for an amen, church. But even if you may wonder these things, but it's so simple because God loves us one by one. He loves us one by one. There was a crowd in Zacchaeus' story then, like there's a crowd here today in this room. And just as Jesus Christ called out to him, he's calling to you right now. Tells him to make haste. He gives a sense of urgency about this. Nobody knows when the end will come. Jesus Christ could come back this very second. If not this second, surely in the next 5 minutes. How about possibly on the way home? I know all the folks that for whatever reason miss church today hope Jesus doesn't come back right now. That's the ultimate life's awkward moment. That Jesus returned and you're not in church, you're floating around in your swimming pool at home. Can you imagine rising up to meet Jesus in the air and everybody looking around going, oh, there you are. There you are. So there's a sense of urgency. But when Christ calls, and this is so good, when Christ calls, it carries a promise with it. What promise? I am so glad you asked. Jesus doesn't just want a meeting and maybe a handshake, a casual encounter under the sycamore tree. Jesus is saying, Zacchaeus, none of your neighbors will come to your house. Maybe no one in this town will have anything to do with you. But I want you to know that this day, I must, look at that word, I must stay. That word stay means to abide. I must abide in your house. Friends, if you listen to Christ's call, I want you to know that this very day, the Lord of glory, this day, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, this day, the balm of Gilead, this day, the Son of the living God wants to come home to your heart and abide forever in you, and in your home. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. So first we saw he experienced divine confrontation. Second, he experienced a divine call. Third, he now experiences a divine conversion. Guys, any conversion has to be a divine conversion. Because if we could convert ourselves, we already would have. If we could make ourselves better, we would. but we possess hearts that are desperately wicked. Listen to me about Zacchaeus now. Before his feet ever touch the ground, he is a new man. Look at what happens in verse 6. So he made haste and came down. First, he heeds the call of Christ. Zacchaeus does exactly what Jesus has said to do. He has made haste. Jesus said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. What does Zacchaeus do? Make haste, and he comes down. But look at how verse 6 ends. And received him joyfully. When we get saved, it is a momentous time. It is a celebratory event. It is a joyous thing. You may not know this, but Scripture says that when one lost sinner is saved, that a great shout of hallelujahs goes up in heaven. When Tom or Bill or Joy or Beth get saved, the angels and the hosts of heaven give a great and glorious shout. Why do they do that? Remember I told you that at the fall in the Garden of Eden, that the title of deed of earth passed from God to Satan. And so this is enemy territory. And because you are disciples of Jesus Christ, God has called you to enter enemy territory, an enemy that is far worse than ISIS, Satan. He's called you to go out there and to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when someone says yes, we carry them back to the promised land. We carry them back to eternal life. We carry them out of the enemy territory back into God's territory. And that is a wonderful thing. And when heaven observes that, it's a great hallelujah. And that's the way we should feel here at Living Hope Church. He made haste. He came down. He received Jesus Christ joyfully. That word received in the that you see there in the original language actually has two meanings. I'm not going to go all seminary on you. I've been admonished by my wife several times about that. So we're not going to do that. But I will tell you the two meanings. First, it means that he came down to receive Jesus as a guest. To receive him as a guest. To be a good host is what that means. But he also, this other meaning of receive means to receive beneath the surface. In other words, he received him into his heart. He received the Jesus Christ as Lord. He received him into his heart. He's heard the claims about Christ, and he climbs a tree to see what this is all about. Once he actually meets the man Jesus, the Lord Jesus, he hears the personal call from God to himself about Jesus Christ. And now he knows the truth about the nature of the Son of God, and he commits his life to Jesus Christ. It's just that simple. God didn't make it that complicated. Otherwise, I would have never made it. I've told you guys many times how simple and literal and straightforward I am. That Miss Ruth Ann has to keep things in the same place at home. If she moves the cream of mushroom soup, friends, if she moves it one shelf, even though it's lined up exactly with the shelf at where it was at, I will never find it. I called her when she was out of town for a week, and I said, "Where is the mushroom soup?" She said, "Lift up thine eyes to the shelf above. It's right there." And I said, "Go in peace." And all God's people said, "Amen." Amen. But there are people here today on the internet in the same position. They've heard about Christ, and they've come to see what this is all about. What is this Jesus all about? And right this very second, their heart is hearing the call of the Holy Spirit, calling them out to Jesus Christ. And I wonder if once again, they will stay in the tree and let Jesus Christ pass by. Not Zacchaeus, he heeded the call of Christ. And in our story today, of course, let me just, before we get all excited about church folks, in our story today, of course, the church people make a fuss. And it's always the church people that make the fuss. I love new believers. I love barbarian Christians. I love believers that come in and they accept and receive Jesus Christ and they go blasting out the doors like a Saturn V rocket. And they're out there sharing Jesus and what some of us old Christians would say, doing it all wrong. Here's what they know. Nothing except the blood of Jesus. And that's what they're sharing. Folks, it's new Christians that bring people into our churches. It's new believers that do that. It's young people that bring new people into our church. It's them that do that. It's those folks that bring them in. They may get the stories all wrong. It's okay. It's our job to set them straight. Amen? That's why we have church, for the teaching and the bathing in the Word of God. So, he heeded the call of Christ. Look at verse 7, all the naysayers here. But when they saw it, just in case you're wondering who they are, that's the church folks. When they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Apparently, they were sleeping in chapel because they never picked up the point that was said well before this. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That Jesus came to seek that which is lost. That all of mankind are sinners. You see, some church people are never quite prepared for the newly changed life. They're not. But it doesn't take long for the new Zacchaeus to show up. Because in an instant, he is changed from death into life, from flesh into sanctification, from corruptible into incorruptible. Look at verse 8. Verse 8 says, then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. Well, that certainly sounds new, huh? What was Zacchaeus? The tax man. You know, this is one of those humorous moments in the Bible that you don't see all the detail. But if you indulge yourself for just a moment, you'll see the humor in this. I've often wondered when he said that, if Zacchaeus wondered if his ears were as shocked as everyone else's ears at what he just said. The tax man says, I'm giving it all back. What? How much would you be celebrating if you heard the tax man say, we're giving it all back? When you made that little mistake with the comma or the decimal, and we said, ooh, we need another $5,000 from you. If they said, it's okay, we're giving it all back. And we've treated you unfairly. We give you back fourfold. I would be praying, please, Lord, let them have done it unfairly. That's what I would be doing. Can they possibly believe their ears? Remember, this is a huge crowd present. That's why he had to climb a tree. They all know the tax collector, and Zacchaeus is doing this publicly. This is a public profession. He's renouncing his old life. He's renouncing the lying, the cheating, the extortion that he's done. And instead, he is joyfully embracing the new life of faith, the new life of holy living, the new life of sanctification. Friends, Zacchaeus is merely displaying the kind of change that Jesus makes in all of those whom he has saved by his great grace. Because when you meet and you receive Jesus Christ, you will never be the same again. I thought I'd get a testimony. I'm glad I brought my own. Please turn to Galatians chapter 6, verse 15. Galatians chapter 6, verse 15. Just a few chapters further back in your Bible in the New Testament. Galatians 6, verse 15. Because the best testimony upon the Word of God is what? The Word of God. Galatians chapter 6, verse 15. If you're there, please say amen. If you're there in a paper Bible, please say amen. Galatians 6:15, it says, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation. Flip over a page from where you are right now to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. By the way, if you really want to learn about your salvation and faith and justification and all those things, sometime this week, read Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 10. But if you're there at Ephesians 2, 10, please say amen. It says, "For we are His workmanship." Look at your neighbor sitting next to you and tell him, "You're His workmanship." I didn't say tell them you're a piece of work. You are His workmanship. Here it says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Back to the book, to Luke. With this new life now, if I could have one of our elders go get the middle schoolers and the young people. With this new life now comes the cherry on the ice cream sundae. Now, I don't know about you guys, but who likes the ice cream sundaes? Okay, now you just went all spiritual on me. All of you food warriors out there, that's right, we like ice cream sundaes. But listen, Zacchaeus' heart is already full of joy. Look, remember verse 6. In verse 6, it reads, excuse me while I get there. "So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully." He's already full of joy. He knew he was different. He knows that he's changed. But it is confirmed. Are you ready for this? Are you listening? It is confirmed by the words of Jesus Christ, his Savior. Jesus told him and everyone else that this man was a saved man. Therefore, he was a new man in the Lord. Listen, it's one thing for you to say that I'm saved. It's one thing for you to recognize that I'm saved, but the real joy in my life is that my Savior, my God, knows that I'm saved. Look at verse 9. "And Jesus said to him," I love it when Jesus talks to my heart. Jesus is saying right to Zacchaeus, "Today salvation has come to this house." Don't you want to know that your house is a house of sanctification? That your house is a house of salvation? "Because he is also a son of Abraham." And when you become saved, you become one of God's people. You become a son of Abraham and a daughter of Abraham as well. It's as if Jesus is saying to anyone who has ever read or would ever read today's passage, what happened to Zacchaeus can happen to you. So today, if your life lacks meaning and hope, if you've tried everything and still feel defeated, disillusioned, if you're still looking for something more, then Jesus Christ is the answer. Whatever the question in your life, whatever the hurt, whatever the pain, whatever the hole is in your heart, it can only be filled by Jesus Christ. If you have a God-filled hole, it can only be filled by God. And you know what? You don't have to climb up in a tree to meet Him. You don't have to do that. All you have to do is respond to His call in your life and come to Him today. Why Him? Why Jesus Christ? John chapter 14 and verse 6 reads, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." I did a really deep study on that little passage that says no one. I looked at all the undertones, the syntax, the gender of it. I looked at all the patterns of the Greek word. Here's what it means. No one comes to the Father except through Him. Friends, we must each pray. God, Lord Jesus Christ, help me to make sure that my lifestyle doesn't contradict my witness for you. You see, we've been called to go and share the gospel. And if our lifestyle contradicts what we're saying to people, that is so unattractive. We need to bear witness to the truth of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Y'all aren't in here with me. Let me try that once again. In other words, Zacchaeus in verse 8, where it says that Zacchaeus stood and said, all those things, I'm going to give it back. I'm going to give it back fourfold. In other words, Zacchaeus is saying, Lord, let my actions reflect the grace I have received in my conversion to your service. Let my life be a pipeline of grace and generosity. Father, the grace that you have shown me, let me show that grace to others when they've wronged me. The salvation that you've shown me, let me share with other people that they should know this man, Jesus Christ. Don't let me be the person that is ever a hindrance to the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Don't let me be the person that is a stumbling block to someone by my lifestyle. Friends, you could have a wonderful testimony, and a moment of ill temper can ruin it all. And we want to glorify God. We want to glorify God in our homes. We want to glorify God in our neighborhoods. We want to glorify God in our workplace. And we know that many of us work in godless workplaces. If you're a teacher here, we want you to glorify God in the school place. We want you to glorify God there. We don't care about anything else except the glory of God. And when someone comes to salvation, we should never say, I led them to Christ. We should say, Christ looked up in their tree of life and said, come down, make haste, come to the glory of God. Because when Jesus, and through Jesus, because when we are converted to the cause of Christ, true change takes place in our lives. For some unimaginable reason, God chooses to use us for His purposes. I've said many times that the Old Testament reads that God used a donkey. We know what that word is in the King James Version. God used a donkey to speak His words in the Old Testament. Looks like He's doing it again in Coral Springs, Florida. But listen closely, friends. God wants to use you. Or in the words of the old Jim Reeves hymn, it is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Give God glory in His house. I end as I began. May the grace and peace from God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, be made manifest in your lives this day.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook, or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon.
You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. Come to pray.